My guest is crime writer Anne Rule. She's a former policewoman who has been writing about crime for the past 19 years. She's written articles and books about the personality of the sociopathic killer. She wrote about serial murderer Ted Bundy in her book The Stranger Beside Me. Her new book is called Small Sacrifices. It's the story of Diane Downs, who was convicted of plotting to murder and then shooting her three children. One died, another suffered a stroke, and her four-year-old son was left paralyzed from the waist down. On the night of the shooting, Downs drove to a hospital emergency room with her children, and there accused a mysterious, shaggy-haired stranger of attacking the family on a deserted road. The hospital workers didn't fully believe her story. Anne Rule told me why.
Well, that first night, May 19th, 1983, the workers at the hospital found Diane's behavior inappropriate. They had dealt with a lot of parents who had lost their children or relatives and had seen, encountered grief before. And Diane made jokes. She seemed more concerned about the bullet holes in her car than she was about her children, who'd all been shot in the chest. Laughed inappropriately. They weren't sure that night. They thought perhaps the mother was in such profound shock that that was the reason for her behavior. But later on, of course, this behavior continued, and then suspicions really arose.
One of the things I found especially frightening, one of the nurses, I think it was, described how Diane Downs was leaning over her daughter as her daughter was in the hospital bed. The daughter was attached to a heart response monitor. And as the mother touched her daughter and said, "I love you, dear," the heart response monitor registered, what, fear?
Yeah, that was Christy, and Christy, her heart was beating 104 beats a minute, which is high anyway, but of course she was desperately injured and had had a stroke because of the loss of blood. And looking into her mother's eyes, the heart rate went up to 147 and stayed there for half an hour after Diane left the room.
The real question this brings to mind to everybody is, how could a mother shoot her own children? Why would a mother shoot her own children? What was the motive that was uncovered?
Long term, Diane had been a victim of incest, was suffering from histrionic, sociopathic, and narcissistic personality disorders, all of which meant that all of her attention was focused upon Diane, upon herself. She deserved to get what she wanted when she wanted it. Immediately, Diane was in love with a married man in Arizona, and she had tried everything to wrest him away from his wife. When nothing worked, she decided she would quit her job at the post office in Chandler, Arizona, go to Eugene, Oregon, and she thought for sure that Lou couldn't let her go, that he would have to follow her. She was only in Oregon a few weeks when she realized he wasn't coming. He was refusing her letters and her phone calls. Diane made a trip back to Chandler, Arizona, confronted Lou, and the last words he said to her were, "Diane, I'm not coming to Oregon. I don't want to be a daddy." With those words, that started in motion her terrible plan. It upsets me every time I say it, but the way Diane thinks was that if her children weren't around, she wouldn't have children, then Lou wouldn't have to be a daddy. 3 weeks later, her children had been shot. Cheryl, 7 years old, was dead. Christy was 8, shot in the lungs. Danny, at 3, shot in the spinal column and left paralyzed from the chest down. She really seems to have thought Lou would come back to her.
Her daughter, her surviving daughter, testified against her.
Christy, yes.
Yeah, in the courtroom. Were you in the courtroom?
Yes.
Can you describe what it was like when Diane Downs' surviving daughter took the witness stand to testify against her mother?
Christy was 9 years old, and she had had a stroke the day after the shooting because all of her blood had been replaced, and replacement blood does not have the oxygen-carrying properties that our own blood does. It had taken 9 months for Christy to be able to speak clearly, And more than that, to bring that memory up, because if you're an adult, you don't want to remember anything horrible as that. Christy didn't want to consciously look at the memory of her mother shooting her. Fred Hughey, who was the prosecutor who was assigned the case, worked with her to try to make her feel secure in the courtroom. But even so, it was a terrifying moment. Christy was carrying her paralyzed arm and her good arm, and she sat down, looked at her mother, and pulled herself together, and Fred asked her, he built up to it slowly, and then he said, "Who shot you? What happened?" And she said, "Mom stopped the car. She went to the trunk. She came back with a gun. She leaned over the seat," and at this point, Christy started to sob, and they had to stop for a minute, and she said, "Then she shot Cheryl, she shot Danny, and she shot me." And at that point, everybody was crying in the courtroom, the jury, the gallery, the press row. Even Diane, who rarely cried, had tears in her eyes, and Christy sobbed. But that was the watershed point in the trial. There was no disbelieving that little girl.
What was the expression on Diane Downs' face when she was found guilty?
Well, that was 3 minutes after midnight on Father's Day, 1984, and the jury had been out for 3.5 days. And the press row I was sitting in, we were so uptight that the whole row was just trembling. Diane was the only person in the courtroom who was smiling. She didn't cry until she got into the paddy wagon to go back to jail. For Diane, it is more embarrassing to cry in public than it is to tell, as she did on the witness stand, the most intimate details of her myriad affairs with married men.
Diane Downs' two surviving children were adopted after the trial by the prosecuting attorney, the lawyer who prosecuted Diane Downs. Why did he adopt the children?
Well, for the simplest of reasons, he loves them. Fred Hughey is a very private man. He bonded with those children. The detective who was in the room with him, the first time he saw them, he went to the ICU to see the children the morning after the shooting, and they were being kept alive by machines. And Fred is a very stoic man who rarely reveals his feelings in public. Paul Alton, the investigator, looked over, and he was amazed to see tears running down Fred's face. And he told me, this was years ago, he said in that moment, Fred adopted, quote, adopted those children. Fred worked with Christy, he had to prepare her for the courtroom. After the verdict, Fred and his wife Joanne, who had been married 20 years but had no children of their own, had the kids for weekends, took them skiing, tried to help the foster parents show these children that there were adults that they could trust in the world. And last summer, it was the most natural thing in the world for Fred and Joanne Hughey to adopt Christy and Danny. And it's the happiest ending to one of the most tragic stories I have ever researched.
Do you ever worry that your books about killers make the killers into heroes or heroines?
No, because my books don't. My books annoy them because I show that soft underbelly, the weakness. Diane is furious about the book I've written, Small Sacrifices, about her. I guess I've yet to write about a killer who was pleased with the book. Ted Bundy, who I knew and wrote about in The Stranger Beside Me, has finally forgiven me as he faces the electric chair now and started writing to me again. Randy Woodfield, known as the I-5 killer, was the subject of my last book. Randy is now suing me for $12 million because he says I ruined his reputation by writing about him after he was convicted of murder, attempted murder, rape, sodomy, and robbery. I don't think any killer would ever want me to write a book about them because they don't come out as the heroine. They come out as monsters.
Anne Rule, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Anne Rule is the author of Small Sacrifices.